Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious Easter corner booth of the Catholic Cafe with Tom Dorian.
Present.
And Sam Rodriguez.
I'm here too.
Sorry to make you laugh.
Yeah, I'm glad you are present.
Thank you.
It's always nice to have gifts.
Thank you.
You're a gift.
Oh, thank you.
Very good. So we are, we're knee deep in Easter now.
We are.
That's kind of cool.
It's totally cool.
Hallelujah, everybody. Hallelujah. And so this weekend, the third Sunday, well, fourth Sunday of Easter, I guess, is when we do Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd Sunday. So
good stuff.
We thought we'd talk a little bit about that because, a lot of times there's things in our Catholic faith that we just kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that a lot of people didn't even know we did this. They've heard that Good Shepherd thing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should start by trying to describe, what is a Good Shepherd?
Well, it's somebody that's going to look out for you. It's going to protect you. He's gonna fight off the bears and the wolves and make sure you're fed and watered and.
Wow, you're literally into the livestock thing.
How can you not be, man?
You're right.
Well, a bunch of sheep.
One thing I'm reminded of is the fact that David, and Christ comes in the line of David, was himself a shepherd. And if you recall before his fight with Goliath, when people thought, how is this little guy going to fight Goliath?
He was throwing sheep at him, wasn't he?
Well,
no.
that's in a special translation. But not USCCB approved. But when he was bring up what he had learned as a shepherd, to present himself as a warrior capable of taking on Goliath. And he said, don't you know that when lions come after my flock, I chase the lions down.
Wow.
And kill them. Which means it's not just chasing them away. He chases them down until and kills them till they're dead. Which is pretty fantastic.
He doesn't want them coming back.
Right.
Wow, yeah. that's kind of cool. I will say this. I don't know if that Moses did this, but Moses was a shepherd too.
Yeah,
he was an actual shepherd before God chose him to shepherd his people, Israel, out of captivity. So, right. So I don't know if he killed anybody in the process, but perhaps he chased a few lions. I guess I don't know, but I do think that's neat to know. Like, so a good shepherd. So not only do they destroy the threat, right, as Jesus would do, but they also take care of them, they feed them,
right,
and so we're fed by the Good Shepherd, and so the Eucharist and things like these are really cool. I know that this image of Jesus being the Good Shepherd is an ancient one in the Church. In fact, when I went and visited Rome, we went out to the catacombs, which are sort of out in the hills, right? They're not in the city. So you go out into these catacombs, and the one at San Callisto catacomb has the oldest depiction of Jesus as the Good Shepherd in it. It's a painting on one of the walls, and it's just quite neat to think that even back then, maybe the second or third century, they're thinking this is what Jesus is. And I'm sure they were taking this from the 10th chapter of John. I mean, just mm-hmm. knowing what Jesus talks about being the Good Shepherd, right? And the reading that we have this weekend at Mass. And so we ought to go through some of this. And I think it's a short reading, so it won't take long, right? But mm-hmm. I love the readings in Scripture that are short, but they're literally packed with stuff.
Okay.
It takes a while to even unpack some of this, but let's read it. It's John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." So there's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't mess around with a lot of flowery sentences that just had lots of neat little images. It's like everything means something in this scripture passage. And of course, all of it relates to him being the good shepherd, mm-hmm. right? And we also recount like some of the parables Jesus told about, remember he talked about the shepherd, that the good shepherd is the one that would leave the 99 to go and find the one.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right, and that should make all of us who sin and feel like maybe we're not worthy, that Jesus loves us and he would come after us. Mm-hmm. Right, he wants us. He desires each one of us to be in his fold or in his flock. So let's start at the very beginning of that, right, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting phrase. My sheep hear my voice. And I'm thinking, it just seems like a commonplace, like, my kids hear my voice. And it's almost like it's incomplete. Well, so what? Right? So what? They hear your voice. So what? My kids hear my voice. And it almost like, it begs, you know, what's next?
Well, they know them.
Well, so before we get to the no part, though, mm-hmm. my sheep hear my voice, I'm going to stop there mm-hmm. and say, my sheep hear my voice. And my question is this, do we?
Good question.
You hear that right. long pause afterwards?
Right.
Because it's like this. I mean, Jesus says something like, my sheep hear my voice. And I actually think that most people don't hear his voice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I always do. But I am going to say that I try, and I want to, and I desire that. And so there are things in my life that I might need to adjust so that I can hear it and hear it more clearly.
Right.
But I think a lot of people don't hear his voice. And I'm not trying to judge, like I can go through the list of politicians, right, and say, no, he doesn't, she doesn't, he doesn't, you know. And I think we all probably would know who we might think would be those people, but that's not our job, right?
Right.
And really, you know, the scripture is talking to each one of us. My sheep hear my voice, and I want to be counted among one of his sheep, which means I want to be one of the 99 or even the one that he would come after.
Right.
Right? But for him to come after and to call, I want to be able to hear his voice. And how much stuff is going on in the world, the great cacophony of noise that's out there, right?
Hard to hear.
Yeah. If we're not listening, if we're not tuned in to hear him, we don't hear his voice.
Right.
In fact, worse than that, I think, Sam, we hear other people's voices.
Oh, absolutely.
And we might even think that that might be the Lord, and it's not.
Right, because we're tuned in to the wrong things, right? And one thing that came to mind as you were talking was, a lot of people don't realize this, but the healing miracles of Christ, where he was healing the blind, he was healing the deaf, that ancient Jewish law made it where you weren't, quote, you know, fit for worship in the temple if you were blind or if you were deaf or if you had leprosy. And that these healing miracles, it wasn't just about
making them feel better or be better physically.
It was actually making them fit for worship, right? And our faith is one.
Bless you.
Bless you. Yes. Our faith is one that is, as it says in the beginning of the letter from John, what we've seen with our eyes, what we touch with our hands. And we experience our Catholic faith through our senses. We exist bodily with senses, and we take God in through our senses. And he wants us to be able to also take him in through our sense of hearing in a variety of ways. But one of the things I want to counterbalance this against is Psalm, one of the Psalms, it says, speaking of those who have idols in their life, it says, they have ears but do not hear. They have eyes but do not see. They have mouths but do not speak.
Mm.
You know, those who put their trust in idols become like them.
Mm.
Right? And so we have to actually, if we want to have ears to hear Christ, we have to, if we're having trouble hearing Christ, it might be because we're putting our trust in the wrong things.
Listen to the wrong stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we have to decide maybe what exactly is his voice. How do we hear him today? Is something else I was thinking about. It's not the same as, like, did you hear that guy Jesus? Like, he's coming to town. They said he's coming to town, and we can go and stand, you know, and he's going to preach from Mount wherever, and he's going to stand there on the side of the hill, and we're going to all gather around and actually hear his voice. I don't know that Jesus meant that. My sheep hear my voice. Especially 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years later, where do we hear his voice now? I mean, certainly through the scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, people in our lives, angels, just the idea that, that God would place people in our path that would help us, and maybe even, they don't even know they're doing that, but we're all sort of like, and how many people have like warned us of things or thought of things that we needed to know, and they wanted to help us, and they love us, and they were, and our experience of God was through them, mm-hmm. right? That's his voice. That's Jesus's voice. And then certainly at Mass, right? His very presence, literally his presence in the Eucharist, but we can hear him in the bells that ring, you know, for people that don't want to have bells anymore and think, oh, the bells are silly. No, no, no. That you mentioned, we worship with our senses. You know, this is the theology of the body at work here. And his voice, you know, comes to us in the gospel that's read, and certainly the singing, the sacraments, all these things. That's his voice. And so, my sheep hear my voice, and I want to be in that club. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear his voice. Now I have to respond to his voice, but I have to hear it first. Right?
Right,
and so we need to tune ourselves into Jesus' voice, mm-hmm. whatever it takes. And then he follows that with, "I know them."
Right,
he says, "I know them, and they follow me." But I know them, and I want to get back to that reiterating. We've talked about it before on this show that when Jesus says, "I know you," it's not just a like I know your name. He can look at you and go like, I know something about you. Your favorite color is this, and you know, or I know what day of the week it is, or I know what 2 + 2 is. It's not just sort of a casual kind of knowledge; it's an intimate knowledge. Mm-hmm. In the same way we've talked about, where you know, Adam knew Eve. That's what the Bible says. To know someone in the biblical sense mean you're going to have a baby,
right?
Right, and so in that intimacy mm-hmm. that belonged exclusively between that couple. In the same way, when Jesus says, "I know them," he's intimate with us, not in a sexual way. He's intimate with us in a way that's like, it's just this relationship.
It's a covenantal bond.
Amen. You know, right? And it's very specific, and it's exclusive.
Right.
Right? And so that's a profound kind of knowing, mm-hmm. right? Which leads to the next sentence, which is, "They follow me." See, if Jesus knows you, mm-hmm. he has a relationship with you, which will cause you not to go like, "I don't care." You're not going to say, "I don't care." If Jesus knows you, right? If you're a member of his fold, if you're one of his sheep and you hear his voice and he knows you, you will follow him. Mm-hmm. Because you will know that there's nothing else in the world that would satisfy like he satisfies.
Mm-hmm. And contrast this, what you just laid out, with what I believe is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about those who say, "Lord, Lord,"
yeah,
you know, I never knew you. They might have done mighty deeds in his name,
right,
and preached his words to others.
We don't want to be in that club,
no, right.
No. We don't want to be the billionaire that gives everybody all these wonderful foundations and does all these things, but doesn't know Jesus,
right,
and doesn't follow Jesus. And that is a travesty. They might have done wonderful things. With all of their money, with all of their, you know, but it's like, but they didn't know him.
Right.
It wasn't him doing it in them.
That's right. Amen. All right. We have more to talk about the Good Shepherd here when we come back. Before we do that, I want to remind folks at home, we've got a great website, thecatholiccafe.com. Also, you need to, social media wise, what do they need to do, Sam?
Oh, please find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Follow us, like our stuff, share our stuff, comment on it. It makes a difference.
That's right. Talk about Tom's hair. We need to have a whole thing set up on Tom's hair.
We do.
And also, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history. When you think of saints, you often think of saintly qualities like patience, love, humility, and generosity. Not so with St. Jerome, a priest and doctor of the church born in the mid-4th century. On more than a few occasions, St. Jerome stood outside the church doors doing penance for his bad temper. While this was true, more than anything, he was a staunch defender of the truth and an ardent lover of the Word of God. He felt that anyone who taught error was an enemy of God, to be defeated with the swift and sure strokes of his powerful pen. St. Jerome was a scholar of great wisdom and understanding. He was a master of Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and he spent many years in study in the celebrated centers of scholarship like Rome and Alexandria. He was a great student of sacred learning because he realized its vital role in obtaining the beatific vision. He once said, "Let us learn upon earth those things which can call us to heaven." Sometimes feared for his veracity, but always known to be a genuine man of God, Saint Jerome was respected by his peers. Saint Augustine said of him, "What Jerome does not know, no mortal man has ever known." He was very prolific in his writings. Above all, his scriptural writings have been without equal in the history of the Church. Saint Jerome is most remembered for his translation of the Bible into the common or vulgar language of the people, making it more accessible to the common people. Called the Vulgate, his vigilant and meticulous translation was very popular and became the standard version of the Bible for over 1,000 years. Many who question the authority of the Church like to point to the fact that Saint Jerome openly opposed the inclusion of the 7 deuterocanonical books in the official canon of the Bible. While this is true, as he rarely held his opinions to himself, few people realize that ultimately Saint Jerome recognized, upheld, and defended the authority of Holy Mother Church in defining the canon, and placed the books in their rightful place in the Bible. In 402 AD, Saint Jerome wrote regarding this issue, "What sin have I committed if I follow the judgment of the churches?" At the end of his life, Saint Jerome finally settled in Bethlehem, where he lived in a cave believed to be the birthplace of Jesus. He died there in 420 AD. His feast day is September 30th. I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history.
Welcome back to the Catholic Cafe. Here's Deacon Jeff.
And we're back in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting here with Ziggy and Tom. And we are talking about Jesus the Good Shepherd.
Yes, we are.
We're reading from the 10th chapter of John. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me.
And it's your favorite reading because it's the shortest.
No, it's not the only reason. But I like short readings because they're chock full.
Yeah.
And, right? and this one's special. You're not going to find a gooder shepherd
More
than
gooder.
Jesus.
I am the goodest shepherd. I am the goodest. So we talked about my sheep hear my voice, and we kind of questioned, do people actually hear his voice? And then talked about Jesus knowing his sheep, mm-hmm. right? And then also they follow me. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. I think we want to be included in this club, right?
I think you're right.
It's like we want to be in this flock. And I think most people would say, hey, do you want to go to heaven? I mean, if you ask that question, people are going to say yes. And the problem is we get confused as to how that happens. In the modern world, that's where people aren't hearing his voice, mm-hmm. right? Where Jesus doesn't know them. They don't know Jesus. And they certainly don't follow him then. And why people can be saying things, you look in politics now and you see somebody say something and you're thinking, how is that even... You don't hear his voice.
Right.
I mean, just somebody said that it would be unchristian to eliminate abortion. And it's like, wait, you're not hearing his voice. You know, no. You're not listening. And there's a great sadness in that. But this thing about following him, right, it's a club we want to be in. We're trying to be in that club, and it's like what does that club look like? What does the flock look like? Mm-hmm. Right? So this next line that's after the they follow me part, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Mm-hmm. That's a good club. I mean, that's a good flock. You want to be in that flock.
Right.
That flock's going places. Right? You know? And so that's that, and when I hear that, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, it instantly makes me think of Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Because you're thinking like, well, wait, people are in that flock and they still die, right? What is Jesus talking about? So the ones that hear his voice, the ones that he knows, and the ones that follow him essentially are being led to Mother Church, right? The church that Jesus established, where he feeds us, as Tom talked about what a good shepherd did, mm-hmm. fed all of his sheep, and feeds us with Eucharist. And I think of that phrase, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, and by all rights, I should be a big Twinkie. I admit it. But, you know, when we eat the eternal food, right, we become eternal. I mean, we sense eternity. And so it's like when we consume eternity, when we consume him, right, when we consume Jesus, he is eternity, right? He is eternal. And so we consume him. It's just like putting us on the road to eternity, and the right road to be in the right club, the right flock.
Right.
Right? And this is what a good shepherd does.
Mm-hmm. Well, oftentimes we find ourselves in our culture only thinking in terms of salvation as something that happens after you die at some point in the future. Do we often, how are we asking ourselves, am I living out heaven now? Am I living out purgatory now? Or am I living out hell now? Because you can live out any one of those things right now where you are.
That's true.
Or you could be confusing and say you're a pre-trib post-millennial or something, right? Given the Protestant definitions of tribulation and millennialism and all that kind of stuff, and get confused. I always am when I talk to someone like that. But when you mentioned salvation, this interesting, this next sentence that Jesus says in that reading is something that a lot of people take this, because you're saying that salvation happens maybe further down the path, where a Protestant might tell you that it can happen right now. Mm-hmm. If you say these words, if you mean this, if you pray this prayer and you mean it, mm-hmm. this is what happens. But Jesus then says, no one can take them out of my hand. Right? So the good shepherd holds on to his sheep. No one can take them out of my hand. And I've heard this verse quoted to me a couple of times when someone's saying, you know, this concept where our separated brothers and sisters say, once saved, always saved. Once you have been saved, you can never be taken out of his hand. Jesus specifically says that. No one can take them out of my hand. Does that mean once saved, always saved? Doesn't that sort of prove that? And this is where it gets to be tricky, because you have to read the rest of it, and what you start to find out is it doesn't mean that. So Jesus says, no one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand, right? So, when you hear that, it reminds me again of the John chapter 6. Do you remember John chapter 6? So, mm-hmm. like, towards the end of the Bread of Life discourse, he lets people leave. Mm. He lets disciples walk out away. Of his hand. That's exactly right.
Right.
Because he even says earlier, like 29 verses earlier in John chapter 6, he says that this is the will of the one who sent me. This is the will of the Father, that I lose nothing that the Father gave me. This is the Father's will. I do not lose them. No one can take you out of my hand. But as you rightly point out, Tom, you can walk out on your own.
Right.
Because he lets people walk away because they didn't want to believe.
Prodigal son.
Right.
Well, he loved them enough to let him go.
That's right. So it's like, you know, the once saved, always saved thing, it's sort of like, if you believe that, you essentially believe that you have no free will after that point.
Right.
And that's problematic, because you know now you truly are a potted plant. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, I'm not judging, and I don't want to be disrespectful to people, but it's like, I don't want to be in a situation where it's like, once I make this commitment to the Lord, I know no one else can pull me out.
Right. But you can take yourself out.
That's right. Because to the day I die, this is why St. Paul says that he's working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that I've already accomplished this, mm-hmm. right? That's what he's talking about. You know, and the one who perseveres wins the race. We've got to persevere.
Right.
Right? But a good shepherd has a firm grasp on his sheep. He doesn't want to lose them. It's his desire to keep everyone in the flock, mm-hmm. right? And he's not going to let somebody come and pull them out and steal them from him, right? The bandits that come along the side of the road and want to steal the sheep. So the devil wants to take you out of the flock. Jesus will not let that happen. If you trust him, if you believe the good shepherd, if you listen to the good shepherd, hear his voice, if he knows you, you follow him, then you're safe.
Right.
I think one thing that keeps us in that flock and keeps us following him, you know, I think back to the Good Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 23, where he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd.
there is nothing I shall want. And a lot of people don't necessarily know what that means. You know, there's nothing I shall want. Well, I kind of want a Snickers bar. Where is that? You know, and it's another way of looking at it is, and I heard this as an alternative translation, which has always been helpful to me, is the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need.
Yeah.
And so it's a statement of the importance of poverty in spirit.
Right.
Is to receive what you have now as being exactly what you need to grow in your walk with him, whatever it might be. And we could always say, yeah, but I still don't have this. If only I had that, or if only I had that. No. What you have right now, you have everything that you need for where you are right now in your walk with him.
And see, that goes back to that very first part, my sheep hear my voice. Because if we are listening to the wrong things, then all of a sudden we have needs.
Yes.
Right? We realize at certain times of year, we need to have indulgent chocolate. We need to have, like, teddy bear-like pajamas. We've got to have flowers. We've got to have these things. And it's like, you need this.
I do need all those things,
I know you do, and I hope you get them all one day.
My brain's stuck back there on teddy bear pajamas and Deacon Jeff.
But the point of all this is, what do we truly need? Jesus is all we truly need.
He is the provision.
And he gives, right. and he gives that to us if we trust him, if we hear his voice. If he knows us, if we follow him.
Start listening.
Yeah, amen. And of course, he rounds that out with, the Father and I are one. I just love that, because a lot of people think, like, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, that pretty much is one of the times where he basically says the Father and I are one.
Right.
He doesn't say we're like each other, or that we share some of the same aspects or attributes, you know, or that we got the same last name. Well, he does say that, I am.
That's right.
Yeah, but the whole point is, Jesus is the good shepherd, and I pray you hear his voice, and I pray that he know you, and that you follow him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.